What up? What's happening? Welcome inside our 1015 Half Street Studios here at 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. I'll take you up to 105 is when we'll bring you the series finale of Nats and Padres. First pitch set for 1:35. Pregame coverage gets rolling at 105. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will bring you Nats on deck. In the meantime and in between time, then keep the conversation going with me on social media. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Hell of a lot to get to. We are really on the eve of training camp for the Washington Commanders. Veterans set to report on Tuesday. First practice set for Wednesday. If you joined us yesterday, we talked about it ad nauseum. I'm excited about training camp. I honestly am. It is the latest and next opportunity for the Commanders to build off of what they did a season ago. And I know last year was honestly like euphoric at times in terms of what went down and some of the thriller finishes that we had down the stretch for this group and the magic of Jaden Daniels and seeing this group rally the way that they did several times throughout the year. The big question mark now, and we've been talking about it all offseason, and every move that they've made, we've gone through with a fine-tooth comb. But now it's kind of put up or shut up time. Now it's time to see it all come together. And I understand training camp is just the very tip of the iceberg in terms of what this group is going to ultimately look like. But training camp is the first opportunity to see the new version of this unit, right? We got to see mandatory mini camp, got to see the voluntary OTAs. Now, bullets fly for real. And something that we'll talk about here throughout the next couple of hours as we give you wall-to-wall pre-training camp coverage here on 106.7 The Fan is I'll be out there, boots on the ground each and every day for Commanders training camp, as well as B. Mitch and Finley. They'll be out there doing their show. And we'll bring you tons of content via social media. So definitely looking forward to that. But one thing that I'm also looking forward to, and I guess it's several things, training camp, in this training camp in particular, because of the talent littered across the roster, it's going to be one of the most difficult football teams to make in terms of what I've seen in my 27 years of life. This Commanders team, on paper, this is the best roster they've had in a long, long, long time. And the big reason for that, and the reason we look at this group in the light that we do, is Jaden Daniels. And for as much as we worry about the run defense, as much as we worry about how they're going to manufacture a pass rush, as much as we're concerned about Terry McLaurin and his contract standoff, it starts and ends with the performance of Jaden Daniels next year. What does he have for an encore after arguably one of the best rookie seasons in the history of the National Football League? How does he follow it up? How does he follow it up? For me, the conversation of sophomore slump and anything outside of brilliance, not really in my thought process here. Because Washington did everything that you're supposed to do. See, I know we're upset at Adam Peters and company right now because of the Terry McLaurin contract standoff. But put that to the side for a second. When you think about best practices for building a football team with a top five quarterback on a rookie contract, Adam Peters and company have followed that manual to a T. To a T. Everything this offseason has been about making Jaden Daniels better. And the irony about that is that last year, everything was about him making the team better. He'll continue to do that, but now the supporting cast is better. Insert Laremy Tunsil, top five tackle in the sport. Insert Josh Connerly Jr., first-round draft pick at tackle. Insert Deebo Samuel, one of the most electric offensive weapons in the National Football League. And now all of a sudden, a group that won 12 games a year ago, a group that was four quarters away from playing for the Lombardi, they've now retooled. They've now refocused. They've now relocked in. And I think as a fan base, we should be reinvigorated. I know right now it's tough to have this Terry McLaurin news kind of lingering over the start of training camp. I understand it's not ideal. I get it. But boy, does this have a chance to be something special. Boy, does this have the opportunity to be something we've never seen before. It's the last time a quarterback on a rookie contract has come in this town. Three, this is sustainable. This is real. The big question, though, is how does he follow it up? And I think he'll follow it up tremendously. I expect him to be firmly in the MVP conversation all year long. All year long. And for good reason. Last year, what we watched, I think it's ironic, the sophomore slump convos and seeing his name not listed in top 10 groups. I get all of that. Big reason I'm confident in his success, one, the supporting cast is drastically improved, and then the continuity that this group has within the offensive coaching staff, I think it will allow them to expound upon what they did last year. And when you think about some of the wrinkles that made this offense as electric as it was, a dynamic running game, what did I dub it last year? Exotic smash mouth football. When you're talking about the different personnel groupings that they were able to run the football out of. Shotgun, pistol, under center, two running backs, 12 personnel, 13 personnel, 11 personnel. And then the real wrinkle that, honestly, I wonder if they do it as often this year. I think they will because it's a part of the mystique of the group. What was the number one thing outside of the quarterback that made this offense so special last year? And it wouldn't have been possible if the quarterback wasn't cerebral and a surgeon from the neck up. The number one thing and the number one reason why this Commanders offense was able to have the success it was able to have, they brought a wrinkle back to the National Football League that, quite frankly, we hadn't seen since Chip Kelly with the Philadelphia Eagles. And even that group wasn't moving at this tape, at this tempo, rather, at this frenetic pace. The hurry-up offense that Washington implemented last year changed the way defenses defended them. Changes the way defenses are going to look at them heading into this year. And when we talk about some of the ancillary benefits and some of the pieces that they brought in, when you have a Swiss Army knife like Deebo Samuel that can play outside wide receiver, inside wide receiver, can line up in the backfield, all of a sudden your hurry-up offense becomes a little bit more impactful, right? Because you don't have to switch personnel. You don't have to have a bunch of different guys running on and off the field. I'm excited about it. I've said it all off season long to anybody who would listen. You can buy into the fat jokes all you want. You can talk about him missing games last year. You can talk about his life off the field. Put all that to the side. In 2025, Deebo Samuel will be the Washington Commanders' most electric offensive weapon outside of the quarterback. In 2025, Deebo Samuel will be the Commanders' most electric offensive weapon outside of the quarterback. And that's whether Terry's in the house or not. That's whether 17, you know, gets over his grievances with the team or not. Deebo Samuel in a contract year? You don't think you're going to get the absolute best out of him? And an offense that led the NFL in wide receiver screen passes last year, you don't think Deebo Samuel's going to thrive in with this group? That's why I'm excited. That's why I'm geeked up. That's why I put all of the scuttlebutt to the side in terms of the 1%. Because I'll be real, there is probably, and I don't know if I should feel comfortable about this because in our lifetime, Bennett, every time this team has had expectations, they have floundered. So I am weary about what this year is going to be, right? Improved schedule, more difficult quarterback slate. That's the other thing. I know we're jumping all over the place here. When we talk about what happened last year, give credit to Joe Witt Jr. and company. What the number one thing the Commanders accomplished last year defensively, I think, was an identity. They run and hit people. They're fast. They fly to the football. They may not set the edge perfectly every time, but they're going to run and hit. Now in year two, with improved personnel and added depth, what does this defense do? How does this defense take a step forward? Say what you want about the way they performed last year. I was a fan of it for the most part, but can we keep it a bean here on this Sunday morning? Can we keep it 100? You look at the quarterback slate that the Washington Commanders played down the stretch, and they should have played the way that they played. Honestly. You think about this. Look at this quarterback stretch. From week 7 on, Caleb Williams, a rookie. Whoever the hell the Giants trotted out. Daniel Jones on November the 3rd. Russell Wilson. You had Jalen Hurts sprinkled in there, but then it was Cooper Rush, then Will Levis, then Jake Haener, then Kenny Pickett for the majority of four quarters, right? Then a second ever start for Mike Penix, right? Then Trey Lance again in the season finale. From week 7 on, the Commanders arguably had the weakest quarterback schedule in the entire National Football League. So as I sit here and I give you my optimism and I tell you why I think everything will be fine, there's also room for improvement. There are also doubts and reservations that I have. But that's all of the emotions that you go through being a fan. And one thing that I allowed to happen last year that I won't this year, I will not allow you all with your burgundy and gold colored lenses to critique me for how I critique the team this year. Because it was infamous. What was it? Thursday? Thanksgiving? The day before Thanksgiving? Or was it that Black Friday? It was that Black Friday. After Washington had lost to Dallas, 34-26. It was their third straight loss. They had dropped to 7-5. You know what I did? With the Tennessee Titans on deck, I put a fork in the Washington Commanders at that point. And people were all upset about it. And ultimately, I look like the ass because they ended up making it to the conference championship. But the one thing and the one, you know, prereq I'll give to this year, and I'll police your fandom, which I'll tell people to never do, but I'll do it. When things are looking rough, don't be biased. It is that you're looking at. When things are going well, don't be a Debbie Downer. Understand what it is that you're looking at. But the bottom line is this. With training camp coming up on Tuesday, my mind is on the 2025 NFL football season. One thing we'll do before we get out of here, Ben Solak, ESPN, put together his top 20 storylines that he's looking at ahead of the 2025 season. In lieu of that, we'll bring you another installment of Nell's Super Six Pack, and I'll give you my top 6 training camp storylines. We'll take your calls on that as well at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Let's take our first time out of the morning. If you're on the way to church, praise them. If you're doing errands running around right now, get the hell out of Dodge, because, you know, people get annoyed when shopping malls and grocery stores are packed on Sunday mornings. I don't like it. Get to where you need to go. Be safe with it. When we come back, it's been wall-to-wall coverage of Terry McLaurin and his negotiations with the Commanders. We've given it to you every which way. When we come back, I'll give you the latest. Yesterday, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, during his morning SportsCenter hit, gave some very interesting insight as to where things currently stand between McLaurin and the Commanders. We'll let you hear from ESPN insider Jeremy Fowler next. This is The Fan. Just getting rolling as we take you around the DMV here on this Sunday morning. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. You can call us at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Leading you in the Washington Nationals. Baseball, fellas, snapped a five-game losing streak yesterday in big part, in large part, because of Nathaniel Lowe. Mackenzie Gore getting the start this afternoon as the Nats try and take two out of three coming out of the All-Star break against the Padres. Right now, though, talking all things burgundy and gold, training camp starts on Tuesday. Veterans report on Tuesday. Practice is Wednesday morning. The big question that we have here locally is whether or not Terry McLaurin is going to be a part of the contingent that is out there this week. Based off of what is being reported, based off of what we currently know, I think McLaurin will be there, but I think it's a situation where it's a hold in. I can see him being there, going through meetings, not practicing. But honestly, I don't even know if I can bank on that because couldn't tell by his tone. Earlier this week, Terry's pissed off. And for good reason. If what Jeremy Fowler is reporting, if it's accurate, and Ian Rappaport said the same thing last week. So that's the lead NFL insider for the NFL Network and the lead NFL insider, or excuse me, the number two NFL insider for ESPN. So if those two guys, right, bear with me here, are reporting the same thing, it's probably true. Whether you want to get your panties in a wad over it or not, it's true. So the bottom line is this. I want to let you hear from Jeremy Fowler, once again, of ESPN, if you're just now joining us. This is what he had to say yesterday morning about where things stand between Terry and Washington.
Well, Terry McLaurin, Courtney, remains frustrated. They have not had meaningful conversations on a deal in a while. I checked with Washington. They have no plans to trade Terry McLaurin. They do want him there long term. The question is, are they willing to meet this market that's gotten crazy where players are making $30 plus million a year at the receiver position? My sense is they're just not even close to that there, and McLaurin senses that, which is why he's speaking out publicly. So they have a big gap they got to try to fill here, but it looks like he's going to be a Commander regardless. They got to try to shake this out here soon.
What I take away from that, and this is informed speculation, you all can do the same because you just heard what I heard, and Ian Rappaport reported the exact same thing last week, by the way. It feels like, for whatever reason, Washington's not willing to go to that $30 million per number. And I have to assume Terry's looking for over $30 million per. That's just my hunch. He may not be. He may just be looking for $30 million per. And if that's the case, it's really shame on Washington. But, like, listen to what Fowler said. They're not willing to pay market value. I understand that this is a business and Washington's got to do what's best for the team. But at some point, like, why do Adam Peters and company think that they can get off with not paying a bona fide number one wide receiver market value? Especially when you compare the numbers to the other guys that he's trying to get into that pay category of. He's trying to get in the Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown bracket, D.K. Metcalf bracket. He's been just as good as a lot of those people, man. Honestly. I really am stunned at where we're at with these things. Because all of you, and this has been so crazy, and I don't mean to sound like a condescending maniac, but like, I told you all from the get-go, Albert Breer joined Grant and Danny on June 5th. June 5th. What did I say then? Well, if a prominent NFL insider like Albert Breer is coming out and saying, yeah, things aren't in a good spot, and what did you all continue to say? Oh, it's just negotiating. Oh, it's just negotiating. Yeah, it is just negotiating, and it ain't going well. It ain't going well. The facts are this. According to Ian Rappaport, according to Jeremy Fowler, the Commanders are not close to the $30 million per year range that Terry's asking for. They aren't close to his asking price in terms of the AAV. You know the irony about that? the AAV of this contract should be the easy part. It should be the easy part. What should be the difficult part because of the age is the guaranteed money and the amount of years that are on the deal. The AAV should be easy because it's point blank right in front of your face. The market is the market. If Brandon Ayuk's getting $30 million per, you bet your ass Terry should. If St. Brown's getting $30 million per, you bet your ass Terry should. If DK is getting $33 per, Terry should. Garrett Wilson getting $32.5 million. I don't care about the age. It's AAV here. We're not talking about a 33-year-old wideout here, guys. I love Adam Peters and company to death. I think they've done nothing but brilliant things since they've gotten here. This, to me, though, the first black eye on this new regime. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Assuming that the reporting of Ian Rappaport and Jeremy Fowler is accurate, the Commanders not willing to, or not close, rather, to that $30 million per year threshold that Terry's looking for. And according to Rappaport, Terry wants to eclipse that. That could be anywhere from $30 to $39 million, if we're being real. But in reality, we think Terry's asking for somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 to $33 million per. If that is the case, then Adam Peters and company are not willing to get close to that number. Who are you pointing blame at if this thing goes sour? We'll get to your calls on that right now. Let's go to CJ in D.C. Want to chime in. What's up, CJ?
What's up, bro? How are you?
What's going on, man? I don't know how I'm doing because the more and more I talk about this.
Well, you know, we talked yesterday about it, man. I had to really sit back and think about it. I mean, I'm still where I am. You know, man, if Terry was above 32 million, I could see, you know, 30, 31 and a half, something
they're
like
not
that.
Even willing,
you
know, to get close. Again. They're not even willing to get close to 30.
But this is the deal, and I thought about this yesterday after we got off. Just let's think. What if the comp isn't Terry? The comp is JD to Lamar, and the success that Lamar has been able to have with his receivers that he's had over that time. I mean, because it will make no other sense for them to not even approach it.
Yeah, I agree.
It makes no sense. So now you have to shift to where the team's possible focus is to think, can we make sugar out of whatever else is there? I think Terry's going to be there. I think Terry's going to watch. I think the team is going to watch early parts of training camp and see where they are. You know what I mean? If they come to a conclusion that how they feel, if that truly is the comp, that they can move forward and do things that they want to do going forward, you know, without a $32 million receiver, I think that's the direction they'll go. But if they truly think JD is the MVP candidate like he is and he can do certain things, this thing may drag out and Terry may not end up being here.
That's the reality of the situation, CJ, and I think you deserve some kudos as a fan from looking at it from an objective standpoint. I know we may all want Terry McLaurin here in D.C., but we're really, really starting to creep towards a point where it may not be a reality anymore. Appreciate the call as always, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reporting that the Commanders are not close to meeting the $30 million per year threshold that Terry McLaurin is trying to eclipse. Knowing that's the case, assuming that that is true, and that's been reported, by Ian Rappaport, as well as Jeremy Fowler. Knowing that that is true, how do you think things ultimately play out here when it comes to Terry in the Washington Commanders? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. We took a call the last segment. We got a bunch more on the line. We'll get to you on the other side of the break. I'll get to those calls. Plus, I'll tell you what I think is next. Assuming the reporting of Jeremy Fowler and Ian Rappaport is true, that the Commanders and Terry are not close and they're not willing to get close to that $30 million per year threshold, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen next. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. This is The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Tapped in to the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 105. Nats baseball comes your way at that time. Series finale of their first series out of the All-Star break. Nats and Padres, game number 3 coming your way tonight. Nats looking to win the series. As last night, things went pretty well, man. Nathaniel Lowe, homering, helping the Curly W snap a 5-game losing streak. The one thing from last night that made me feel not so good, I don't know if people are monitoring this as closely as I am, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on in the show. Once again, James Wood 0-for at the plate. James Wood, once again, 0-for at the plate. I'm going to pull the numbers, but ever since he started using that damn home run derby simulator, he struggled. He's something like 3 for his last 37 at-bats. So, just saying. We'll talk about the Nats in a little bit more detail as we roll throughout the show. They play their series finale coming up a little bit later on this afternoon. It is a 1:35 first pitch pregame coverage. Gets rolling at 1:05 right here on the Fan. It'll be Big Mac on the mound. Excuse me, for DC, fresh off of his All-Star appearance earlier this week. Right now, though, talking about the Washington Commanders, and the number one storyline with this group right now is Terry McLaurin and the impasse that he is at when it comes to his contract. Things are not good. I just want to come out and say that, because, and I'm going to say what everyone's scared to say. See, this is the difference between how I do it and how some of your other favorites do it. I'm going to be objective. I'm going to be honest. And I'm going to look at it through the lens of someone that's being practical. I'm going to take the emotion out of it. I'm going to take what I want out of it. And I'm going to look at it for what the hell it is. Things between McLaurin and Washington, as we've continued to talk about, and I'm not trying to beat it into the ground, but it is what it is. And we got new information yesterday, so here we go off the top, giving it to you. Things aren't in a good spot. And if the reporting of Jeremy Fowler is accurate, we're a long ways away from finding a solution to this thing. Without further ado, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN yesterday on SportsCenter had this to say about where things stand between McLaurin and Washington.
Well, Terry McLaurin, Courtney, remains frustrated. They have not had meaningful conversations on a deal in a while. I checked with Washington. They have no plans to trade Terry McLaurin. They do want him there long term. The question is, are they willing to meet this market that's gotten crazy, where players are making $30+ million a year at the receiver position? My sense is they're just not even close to that there, and McLaurin senses that, which is why he's speaking out publicly. So they have a big gap they got to try to fill here. But it looks like he's going to be a Commander regardless. They got to try to shake this out here soon.
What? So, and this is where it's like, it's the art of solo radio, people. My younger demographic, we use the word glazing, right? I just glazed the front office in the first segment talking about they've done everything right in terms of what you're supposed to do when you have a top five quarterback on a rookie contract. But based off of what Jeremy Fowler is saying, what the hell are the Commanders thinking? Seriously. If they're not willing to go to $30 million per for Terry McLaurin, what are we doing here? The market is what the market is. You know what wide receivers make $28 million? Or under 30, rather? T. Higgins at 28.7. Guess what? Terry McLaurin's better than T. Higgins. Jalen Waddle at 28.2. McLaurin, better than Jalen Waddle. DJ Moore at 27.5. We're really comparing DJ Moore to Terry McLaurin? Michael Pittman at 23.3. See what I'm saying here? At some point, you got to pay the man what he's worth. Brandon Ayuk is at $30 million per. Tyreek Hill, $30 million per. But I'm just looking at the AAV, or excuse me, the salary for this year for guys, because that number obviously is going to change for some folks. But man, their willingness to just ignore the market is like honestly staggering to me. They're not willing to pay Terry $30 million per? And here's the thing, right? If they're not willing to pay Terry $30 million per, Terry is going to request a trade. I'm telling you now, if they're not what the market is, what the market is. You heard the mayor earlier this week at Easton's Automotive. If they're not willing to get to $30 million per, then what are we really doing here? What are we really doing here? That is my frustration with all of this. The market is what the market is. Garrett Wilson just signed for 32 and a half. Amon-Ra St. Brown signed for 30. Ayuk signed for 30 per. Tyreek Hill signed for 30 per. Come on, man. Come on. And then looking at the guaranteed money in terms of what guys got guaranteed as signing. Jefferson, $88 million. Terry's not sniffing that. Jamar Chase, $73.9 million. Terry's not sniffing that either. CeeDee Lamb, $67 million. Terry's not sniffing that. DK, $60 million. I think the sweet spot for Terry is probably $56 to $58 million guaranteed on a deal that pays him at least $30 million annually. You're telling me that they can't do 3 for $93 million? Or they can't do 3 for $92 million? And I'm pulling out the calculator app right now because I'm trying to give it to you raw, people. If you look at a deal and it's $92 million over the span of 3 years, that's 30.6 mil per. That's 30.6 mil per. In terms of the contract average, that will put Terry as the seventh highest paid wideout in terms of AAV in the NFL. For what Terry McLaurin has produced, for who Terry McLaurin is, doesn't that sound right? He's about the top 12 receiver in the NFL. Some people may have him as high as 10. Say you're Terry's camp, but even if Terry's camp wants to get greedy, and they say, well, let's go 3 for $95 million. That's 31.6. You put him at 31.6, guess where he still is? Seventh highest in the NFL. If I'm the Commanders and Terry wants a deal that's better than A.J. Brown's, can't give it to him. He's not on A.J. Brown's caliber. If he wants a deal that's better than CeeDee Lamb's, can't give it to him. He's not CeeDee Lamb. Justin Jefferson, can't give it to him. He's not that. But if he's asking for Amon-Ra St. Brown money at Brandon Ayuk money, you can't give it to him? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Jeremy Fowler, and we'll run the audio back on the other side of the break, but Jeremy Fowler of ESPN basically hinting very strongly at the fact that, and Ian Rappaport said this last week as well, Terry's just looking to eclipse $30 million per. The Commanders are reportedly not close. Knowing those details of these negotiations, we'll ask the same question. Are you Team Terry or your Team Commanders? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. When we come back, we will let you hear from Jeremy Fowler once more. You hear from the horse's mouth about where things currently stand between McLaurin and the Commanders. Training camp is on Tuesday when the veterans are set to report. I don't think Terry's even going to show up if a conversation is not had beforehand about an extension and about negotiations, period. We're hitting crunch time when it comes to this Terry McLaurin contract. Well, let's hear from Jeremy Fowler, plus continue to take your calls next. Still rocking and rolling here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Tapped into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. We'll take you up to 105 Nats baseball. Comes your way at that time. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up for the series finale of Nats and Padres. Mackenzie Gore, the all-star. Mackenzie Gore getting the start for D.C. It is a 1:35 first pitch. And per usual, you can hear all the action right here on the Washington Nationals radio network. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN yesterday on SportsCenter saying that the Commanders and Terry McLaurin aren't close to the $30 million per year threshold that McLaurin is trying to eclipse. Now, there is some informed speculation going on here from your boy, so I want to preface what I'm saying with that, right? Fowler has reported this. Rappaport reported it last week. And Rappaport was just on a local podcast, and I know said, don't worry, things are going to be good. I know Fowler is saying, don't worry, we're not going to trade him. Let me tell you this. When you hear these insiders say, yeah, you know, the team doesn't want to trade him, they're not going to trade him, guess where that's coming from? The team. Guess who has no control over whether or not Terry puts in a trade request? The team. And that's where I'm at right now. If Jeremy Fowler – if what he and Rappaport is reporting is true, that the Commanders aren't willing to get close to the $30 million per year he's trying to eclipse, if they're not willing to go to 33 or 32.5, if they're not willing to get to that number, Terry McLaurin is going to request a trade. Honestly. Terry McLaurin is going to request a trade if they do not meet that number, if they do not get close to that number. And they haven't even spoken in a while. You know why they haven't spoke? I'll tell you why. Because the offer that they put on the table, Terry and his agent counteroffered, they said no, and basically have moved under the premise that, yeah, we're not budging off of this deal. And if the deal that they're digging their heels in the ground over is not over $30 million annually, what the hell are we doing here? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Patrick in D.C. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Linnell, thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for calling.
So I got two issues with this whole thing. We don't really know that he wants a three-year deal. What if he wants a four-year or a five-year deal at $30 million?
Patrick, this is my thing. We got to be smart. We got to be smart here as we listen and look. The years haven't been brought up in anyone's reporting. The number one thing that the AAV is all people are talking about. Do you realize that's the easiest part of this deal? Is the AAV? That's the easiest part because the market dictates what that should be. I don't think Terry's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. We're missing a piece here, I think.
I don't know if the years I don't think years is gonna be much of a holdup here. They gotta get the cash part down first. Then you move to the
I don't
years.
Know. Like, I mean this is the last contract he's gonna sign, right?
I mean, potentially, yes. It'll be 34 at the end of the deal, or 33 at the end of the deal, if it's a three-year deal. Regardless, if he's 33 or 34, it's not going to change what his next deal is going to be. So I don't think he's fighting I don't think it doesn't make sense for him to be fighting over a year. That I highly doubt that that's happening.
I am a huge McLaurin fan, and I want him here in D.C., but I got one more issue with this. Is he not under contract for next year?
He is, but he's under contract at $22 million. That's way, way under market value for the type of receiver that he is.
But that's still $20 million. He signed for it. He's supposed to be our guy this year. What is this holdout stuff? That, to me, starts to look more like a character issue on him.
I'm pulling up Terry's contract because the entirety of his deal and salary for this year isn't totally guaranteed. The cap hit is $24 million for this year. He's got a $500,000 workout bonus that he's not going to be able to get. He gets a roster bonus. There's the base salary. So, yeah, it gets to about $22 million for this year.
That's not
fully guaranteed, which is why he's not playing. If he gets hurt, right? Then what? Then he doesn't get the money. That's the point here.
That's every player everywhere, isn't it?
Right, but that's the whole point from Terry McLaurin's side. Why would I play on a one-year deal that's drastically under market value and it's not guaranteed? So appreciate the call as always, man. So what Washington did earlier this offseason, if you all remember what happened earlier this offseason? When they traded for Debo, what did they do? They fully guaranteed his money for this year. That's the other solution that I think potentially could be here if they don't give him a deal. Because I do think Terry is motivated to play. But, like, to me, if they're not going to get close, he's going to request a trade. Whether they honor that trade request and allow him to talk to other teams is an entirely different conversation. One way that they can solve it is fully guaranteeing this year's money, similarly to what they did with Debo earlier this offseason. Now, in terms of the trade request, I don't think the team honors it unless they're blown away with an offer. What they do have the ability to do, though, is allow him to talk to other teams and see if he can get a deal. And if that team is going to give Washington the capital they want in return, then we may have something. 1-800-636-1067. Athens is in Annapolis. What's up, Athens?
You know, there's a team in Kansas City and in Baltimore and Buffalo that make the playoffs every year and don't have legit wide receivers like Terry. And, you know, Adam Peters is from Denver when they were successful, and New England when they were successful, and San Francisco when they were successful. And he knows what it takes to build a winner. And, you know, Terry can stomp his feet all he wants, and I get the market value and all that stuff, and that's true to an extent. But at the end of the day, you have to trust the team that they know what they're doing. This team is still in rebuild mode, and that's why I've told you, Ben Sinnott and your McCaffreys and other people are going to have to step up, and the kid they drafted from Virginia Tech, because he can stop want to trade all he wants, but if he sits out the year, he's just going to be back there next year. It doesn't accrue, so where he can go somewhere else. So they have the leverage. They need to give him a bump in salary. But I just say, you know, if this doesn't work out within the first 2 weeks of training camp, trade him to New England. Get a first and a conditional third or fourth and be done with it. And do what the other teams I just mentioned do, and rely on your quarterback to win the games for you, because that's what they do.
But here's the thing. What you said is correct, but the timeline is off. He's in year two. He's in year two. All of those guys during their rookie contract had high-priced number one wideouts, except for Lamar. He's the only one that didn't have it. Pat Mahomes had Tyreek Hill. Josh Allen had a highly paid Stephon Diggs. So, like, I get that, but we're not at that point yet to where we want him to. We need to see if he can function without a bona fide one.
Hey, look, my friend, come next year after Jaden's third season, Miss Regina is going to be asking for $75 million plus a year. So he better just be put his big boy pants on now, because he's going to be asked to do a lot around here. I'm not saying it's right. They should have more talent around him. But nobody's going to be like Tom Brady and take less like he did most of his career, so yeah, he could have a good team around him. She's going to break the bank come after JD5's third season. And you need Juju's there now, too. So she might be repping her and trying to grow the family wealth.
Appreciate you as always, man. 1-800-636-1067. Let's get to Tyler in Richmond. What's going on, Tyler?
I told you earlier this week that I thought the organization was in a tough spot. But now that I hear that Jeremy Fowler reports, I say if you really want him there, give him what he wants. He hasn't missed a game in 5 years. Give him what he wants. Build a consistent winner and get the deal done.
Let's do it. I hope it's that easy, Tyler. I appreciate you as always, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, top of the 11 o'clock hour here in our nation's capital, we'll continue the conversation around Terry McLaurin and the Commanders. Would you be open to trading Terry McLaurin? 1-800-636-1067. If the two sides cannot get close on a deal, I told you what I think is going to happen. Terry McLaurin is going to request a trade. Would you be comfortable trading Terry McLaurin? If so, what should the asking price be? We'll take your calls on that. Plus, we'll let you hear more from Terry McLaurin out at Eastern's Automotive Group earlier this week. Next, here on The Fan.